I don't want to repeat what you've already heard, but I do want to emphasize why this public statement such as this is an important one, particularly from the perspective of public health. As you know from your prior support of CAP, we opened an LGBTQ-focused primary care center a little over a year ago. And since then, we've seen incredible demand for these type of LGBTQ plus specific services. The demand seems to be growing faster than we can bring on providers to serve them. And I think this speaks to the importance that Portland plays as a hub for LGBTQ plus individuals across the Northwest. On a personal note, this was true for me growing up as a gay kid in Montana. I knew that Portland was the place I wanted to be, which is why I moved out here in 1997 the first time, and it's why I stay. So thank you for that. But while it's easier for LGBTQ plus individuals to navigate the world, it's still quite difficult for a number of folks. And I wanted to just speak a little bit about some demographic data. Every 5 years, the Oregon Health Authority issues a report that describes the state of our health. It's called the State Assessment, State Health Assessment. They're issuing a new report this year that has some fascinating data on the growth of the LGBT population. Nationally, we've seen data for years that show about 4.1% of our population identifies as LGBT. However, in the data soon to be released by the State Health Authority, will show that fully 10% of the adult population in Oregon identifies as LGBT. But that report also shows that nearly 23% 11th graders are now identifying as LGBT. That's 8% 11th grade boys and 15% of 11th grade girls. Moreover, about 6% of 11th graders reported themselves as either non-binary or having multiple gender answers. And among gender non-conforming youth, 64% of them identified as LGBT. So this is just to show that, you know, the LGBT population is changing and it's growing in Portland and in Oregon. However, there are higher rates of violence and trauma and mental health issues within that population. I'm running out of time. So 56% have reported depression and anxiety. 50% have reported post-traumatic stress. And there are significantly higher rates of depression for transgender folks, about 72%. And there are, among 11th graders, significantly fewer gay and lesbian youth reported good to excellent emotional health, basically because of the social stresses of being LGBT in our culture. However, there have been notable where participants receive social supports, those numbers go up considerably. So. Thank you.
Peter, do you have any Thank final you. Statements you'd like to make?
I just wanted to say that renaming Stark Street is an important step in raising the visibility of what it means to be an LGBT individual in our community. It means that we're being seen and heard, and it sends an important message, especially for our youth. Thank you.
Thanks for being here. We appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Ben Leva, and I work for Stumptown Coffee Roasters as the manager of our cafe that is located on Southwest Stark Street. As the manager of a business that is located on Southwest Stark, I'm excited for the opportunity to express my support for the name change to Harvey Milk Street, as it's very much in line with my company's values, as well as my personal philosophy of providing a service to our visitors and our guests that enter my cafe. At our cafe, we serve hundreds of customers every day, and the majority of these customers are tourists. They're visitors who come from across the country and across the world to enjoy Stumptown Coffee as a part of their Portland experience. Through the hospitality that we deliver and the service and engagement that we provide, we become unofficial ambassadors for the city, in a sense. And I believe that this name change provides us with an opportunity to leave a lasting impression on the visitors to my cafe and really showcase that our city is welcoming and inclusive to everyone. On a more personal level, I feel that the name change provides us with a great opportunity to impact many people. However, even if just one individual is able to be made to feel more safe and more welcome and more accepted, then it is so worthwhile. And even if just one individual who might not even know what LGBTQ even means is able to reach a deeper understanding and greater awareness and in turn a greater acceptance, then it is very much worthwhile. Thank you.
said. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Did you all get the handout? Oh, she's going to. You have. We have a handout.
Thank you.
My name is Cindy Comfer. I'm a member of the Historical Review Committee for the street renaming. In addition to being a retired lawyer, I'm an historian with a PhD from UCLA. I've written two history books, both of which won awards, and I was a professor of history at Reed College in a visiting position for 2 years. I'm also a lesbian. I'm testifying today to point to the historical importance of downtown Stark Street to the LGBT community and to Portland. Southwest Stark Street sits near the center of a district that, dating back to at least the turn of the 20th century, might be called Portland's Gay District. Included in the southwest wedge of Portland, east of the Gulch, now I-405, and south of and including Burnside Street, were important institutions like the YMCA and numerous hotels, restaurants, taverns, and nightclubs, a number of which over the years housed and served LGBTQ people. Southwest Stark Street was the site of many of these businesses. This handout I gave you is an incomplete list of what some of those are. I'd like to call special attention to entries 4 and 8, hotels where Dr. Marie Equi made her home. Dr. Equi was a well-known doctor who, among other things, provided birth control and abortion services during the first several decades of the 20th century and who supported labor causes. She was imprisoned in 1918 for her opposition to U.S. entry into World War I, impugned in part because she was a lesbian. The daughter she and Harriet Speckert, in number 4, adopted, grew up to be Oregon's first female pilot. I'd also call attention to number 5, the Music Hall nightclub. Portland's LGBT community swelled during World War II as the shipyards brought tens of thousands of new workers to Portland. Working in same-sex environments, many of the LGBTQ workers had the opportunity to connect. The Music Hall on Stark and Southwest 10th was a major draw for many of these people. The city of Portland closed it in the early 1950s as part of an anti-vice campaign. I came to Portland in 1970 as a young lesbian, and I can echo the testimony of others about the importance of having, and now holding up, places where my marginalized community met. But this is about more than my community. As an historian, I suggest renaming Southwest Stark is an excellent opportunity for the city of Portland to claim and honor its LGBTQ history. And I thank you for your consideration. I turned 69 25 minutes ago.
Hey, happy birthday. That's great. Thank you, and thank you for this this timeline. This is fascinating. I appreciate it very much. Next three, please, Carla.
Are Rick Jung, Bill Dickey, and Matt Steele. And they'll be followed by Suzanne Hale, Fabtu Comerford, and Richard Walden.
Greetings and welcome.
Hello. I'm Rick Young, the executive director of the Portland Gay Men's Chorus, and it is a pleasure to be here to talk today. On November 27th, 1978, a city grieved as Commissioner Superintendent Milk and Mayor Moscone were assassinated in an act of hate. That night at City Hall, as the city came together to grieve, that was the very first time that a group of gay men that became known as the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus joined together to sing together for the very first time in public. From that initial movement, a year and a half later, the Portland Gay Men's Chorus was formed. In 1980, the Portland Gay Men's Chorus was a group of 20 men who sang together. It grew very quickly into a group of about 140. Some of its early performances and some of the things that it did was perform in the bars on Stark Street. They would go in late at night and recruit. I know you're not supposed to say recruit these days, but they would recruit new members to the chorus by singing body songs in the bars up and down Stark Street. And that was our early days. Of course, now we're a much bigger institution and we don't resort to those kind of things anymore. But I do want to say this thing. I know. I do want to say that, you know, that night when the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus formed, led to a movement called Gala Choruses. There are 180 gay choruses across the United States, and there is a burgeoning of gay choruses all around the world. Of course, there are 13 of them now in China, and there's one that just formed in Latvia, where Stuart just was. The gay choral movement was a way for people to come together to sing and to be proud of who they were, and to be proud of the music, and the music became the way they came out in the world, to fulfill Harvey Milk's legacy of being out and open. So I hope that, you know, that the legacy that Harvey Milk gave to this community and to the Portland Gay Men's Chorus, the Portland Lesbian Choir, to the Rose City Gay Freedom Band and the Bridging Voices, all who have endorsed this proposal to rename Stark Street to Harvey Milk Street, is a part of our legacy, and we are proud of that legacy, and we know that you will do the right thing by supporting this momentous occasion of renaming Stark Street to Harvey Milk Street. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Good afternoon.
Hello, Bill Dickey. I'm here to testify in favor of changing the name of Stark Street to Harvey Milk Street. And I thought it would be worth our while to just set the record straight on a couple of items. The pages in the Life and Time, the book, The Life and Times of Harvey Milk, has some pages in it, and those pages have been debunked by varying degrees of historical people. Number one, the president's office debunked them and researched them in giving Harvey Milk the Freedom Award. The United States Post Office investigated those in deciding to place a stamp in the honor of Harvey Milk. And the Secretary of the Navy researched those pages as well, and they were all proven to be debunked. They're just some right-wing pages that really have nothing to do with reality today, and so I'm just here to tell you that is the truth. Beyond that, my grandfather 111 years ago opened a shoe store on Union Avenue, so for the last 111 years, somebody in my grandfather's family has been in business in Portland, Oregon. I myself have been working here in town for going on 40 years, and everyone that I've talked to about this issue, and this is anecdotal, I realize my saying this, but everyone that I've talked to about this issue has told me that they think it's a great idea, and I do too as well, so I'll cut it short and let Matt take over.
Thank you. We appreciate your testimony.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much for having us here today. I know it's been quite an effort to have this happen before Pride, and I'm very grateful for that. My name is Matt Steele. I've been involved with the Harvey Milk Street Project since last fall, starting as the website guy behind the scenes, and hundreds of conversations later, here we are. So I grew up outside of Salem, Oregon, which isn't the most progressive place, but also not the most conservative. And growing up, my entire narrative for the LGBTQ reality was in slurs, in bullying, in violence. There were no heroes, no icons, no basic life-giving acknowledgement of existence and of hope and happy endings, you know, not from family or classmates or teachers or the broader community. And I'm sure there are many progressive, compassionate, pro-LGBT people amongst them, but without tangible words and examples, I was left with no narratives that gave affirmation or comfort. Then social media happened, specifically MySpace, which isn't the best thing to ever come out of the internet. But for the first time ever, I saw gay people. I saw happy gay people with no political spin, just regular, normal people, happy. And it was mind-blowing. It showed me a narrative that for myself that wasn't miserable, that challenged this idea of having to hide from myself and others. And these positive narratives are truly life-saving. I now work with preschoolers a couple days each week, and we have many kids in our classroom that transcend the gender binary and that, you know, at 2 and 3 are so fabulous. And I say that to really emphasize that LGBTQ people exist. We are reality regardless of the political, social, and religious climate of any era. And these kids need, and our community needs, lasting, visible markers of our existence, of our heroes, and our history. Proof that our stories can be fulfilling and impactful and happy. And I think that we need our leaders to go on the record affirming this with projects like the Harvey Milk Street. Harvey Milk Street in Portland would give LGBT folks who see or hear of it a positive narrative. It's not a cure-all, but it is a solid, powerful step that would challenge the prejudiced narratives that we're seeing come out from a lot of figureheads today. So yes to Harvey Milk Street for the community pride it would bring, and extra yes for the basic life-giving beacon it would serve as for our youth and our members who might not otherwise know that a positive narrative exists. I hope that you decide to leave a legacy today, that LGBT Portlanders and visitors alike feel seen and respected for generations to come. So, thank you so much.
Next three are Suzanne Hale, Dub 2 Comerford, and Richard Walden. And then the last three will be Michael Whitmore, Tyler Kershaw, and Shedrick J. Wilkins.
Welcome.
Thank you. If I was a lady, I'd say ladies first. I am in support of the naming of Harvey Milk Street. My name is Suzanne Hale, and for nearly 24 years, I've owned and operated the world-famous diner, the Roxy, on Southwest Stark Street. Along with my staff, led by April Shattuck, we have gathered hundreds and hundreds of signatures in favor of this petition to change the name. Our customers supported this wholeheartedly as well, even the tourists who could not sign it. Our staff and customers also generated hundreds of letters in the successful campaign to release the Harvey Milk stamp, which was unveiled at the White House, due in large part to the efforts of the international court system, of which I have been a member for several decades. We could not be more honored to have our address become 1121 Southwest Harvey Milk Street, Portland, Oregon. Harvey Milk is an icon not only to the LGBT community, but to seniors, immigrants, and all disenfranchised peoples. That is who we are in Portland. The current name, Stark Street, represents a history that does not represent us. Benjamin Stark was the original landowner for which the street is currently named. Benjamin Stark was an unapologetic racist, a known advocate of slavery, opposed public schools, and fought in the Rogue River War, which slaughtered indigenous Americans in the 1860s. 150 years of honoring bigotry is enough. Let us join the elite few cities who are enlightened and look toward a future that celebrates the best of us. Please vote to allow Southwest Stark Street to become Southwest Harvey Milk Street. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor, commissioners,
thank you for granting me a couple of moments. My name is Richard Walden. I am a 60-year-old gay man who has lived on Stark Street for about 12 years, right next to her wonderful establishment. I come in for hash browns at 3 in the morning all the time. I am respectfully speaking in opposition. Not because I oppose renaming Stark Street. Benjamin Stark was a racist, a eugenicist, and I would love to see the street renamed. And not because I have a bad word to say about Harvey Milk. I'm incredibly proud that as a young man, when I was living in San Francisco, one of the very first votes I cast was for Harvey Milk. And one of the very first protests that I went to was after his death. And those marked me indelibly. I just think we have queer heroes in Portland. We've got Dr. Marie Acqui. Most people have never even heard her name. Lesbian doctor from the 20s and 30s who was on the front lines of women's rights, reproductive rights, gay rights. back when there were hardly any women doctors. And although I understand the policy that somebody has to be dead for 5 years, you guys can bump that. We've got Ursula Le Guin, who lived and died and ranted and raved literally within a mile from Stark Street, and on the front line of gay rights since the 60s. Let's name something for Harvey Milk. But let's take this opportunity to name the street for an Oregon hero. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. And let me throw a compromise on the table. The two individuals you named absolutely should also be honored. Absolutely. So thank you for raising that. Commissioner Daly.
Well, I would like to put a vote in for Gracie Hansen, maybe a statue or a plaza. Yeah. But I, to be clear, do support renaming our street for Harvey Milk.
Yeah. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Tupten Comerford. I am a citizen, resident of Portland, and don't represent any particular organization here today. I just heard that this hearing was happening, and I got extremely excited. When I was 13 years old, Harvey Milk fought against the Briggs Initiative in California. He was very vocal. I was a very closeted 13-year-old in a world that was very unfriendly. And knowing that someone cared enough about me to fight the way that he did and to die the way that he did, fighting for me and for every gay, lesbian, queer young person to grow up free and open, was just amazing. So when I heard that this was happening today, I wanted to come down and express my gratitude to the council for considering it, express my gratitude to the committee for proposing it, and ask you to vote in favor of it. Harvey Milk was an inspiration to me. When I finally did come out, I founded an openly gay fraternity at my college. I was the president of the Gay and Lesbian Association and also the other four gay and lesbian organizations on our campus. I've become a community organizer and have moved into the general community. I organize technology, the technology community here in Portland, 7,000 member New Tech PDX that meets every third Monday. Mayor Wheeler has spoken at our events in the past. And I became a whole person and excited to contribute. I hope that what I have to contribute to the world is just a fraction of what Harvey Milk has. And I know that having a Harvey Milk Street in Portland would send an incredibly welcoming message. Part of why I moved here with my partner 9 years ago was because I heard that Portland was a welcoming, live and let live, do your own thing, nobody could care, right? Just an amazing place to be yourself and be openly whoever you are. And having a Harvey Milk Street would not just have that be a rumor, but would help make it a fact. So please do vote for Harvey Milk Street. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
The next three are Michael Whitmore, Tyler Kershaw, and I believe Shedrick Wilkins left, so we'll go with Carrie.
No, he's here. No,
he's
here.
Oh, okay. And Shedrick Wilkins. And then last will be Terry Timchuk.
Good afternoon.
Hello. I'm sorry for the start. Is that okay?
You want to do that?
Go for it. Before I get emotional. My name is Michael Whitmore. I work with Lisa Schroeder at Mother's Bistro and Bar. Formerly, I worked in mental health for several years in the city. I worked with many, many, many children that would come in, even adults of the LGBT community. Many of them in fear of coming out due to their backgrounds and their family upbringing. I don't know how many people I talked to who are suicidal just in fear of coming out. I had a lot of things to say before, but everything's already been said. But I'll tell a quick story. I moved here in 1994 from Savannah, Georgia, where I was raised. I came out in 93 and had been fired numerous times from businesses that I had worked in. I was told numerous times, hide it. Can you not act so gay? Can you not be a sissy? And that kind of prompted me to move to Portland, Oregon in 94 because it was liberal. It's liberal back then and, of course, much more liberal now. Stark Street was a safe haven for us for many, many years. One of my first jobs here in 94 was working at the original C.C. Slaughter's, which was on Stark Street. And back then it was just a porthole window with no sign to come into. And the original owner there, John, I was about an hour and a half late to work one Friday morning or one Friday evening, and I came in and my face was all black and blue. I'd been beaten and chased, and I just parked like a couple blocks away. And my boss, of course, forgave me. The next week I came in and I wasn't wearing such flamboyant clothes, and my boss was really upset with me, told me to go home and change. And I said, well, you don't understand. I don't want to get beat up again. And he said, I don't care. This is a gay bar. You're a gay man. Be proud of who you are. You wear those colors. That's exactly what Harvey Milk stood for. Be out. Be proud. If you've got to fight, stand up and fight. And that's something that I think that we should honor. It's a small token to a man who fought for all of us. Thank you.
So thank you. Good afternoon.
Me?
Sure. You're up, Cedric.
He was next. I thought he was next. Anyway. Yeah, I'm Cedric Wilkins, and I think in 2015, the Supreme Court and the Obama administration passed gay marriage, which is an issue brewing from the Supreme Court for 4 years. I remember in 2003, Multnomah County issued a marriage license and had to rescind them. So this is a milestone in history. Like 2015 is like 1865 with the Civil War ending. And that's on a national level, U.S. national level. So I think it's important to name a street after Harvey Milk because of what the Supreme Court did in 2015 and legitimizes his crusade for sexual orientation. Now it's a law in most sexual orientation is the law. Now it's when you go to an application, it says sexual orientation. We don't have any bias against that. So also I think too internationally, Alan Turing, great computer scientist, broke codes, German codes during World War II, was after the war, Alan Turing was persecuted for his sexual orientation and he committed suicide and there is a street named after him in London. So it's good to name a street after somebody. And the legal system in the 50s in England was not appropriate. Modern times, they would have done nothing to him. So.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. For nearly 60 years, the Imperial Sovereign Rose Court of Portland, Oregon, has served the LGBTQ+ community here in our City of Roses, paving the way for leaders and monumental events to take place and shape our beautiful city into one that takes care of its citizens. My name is Tyler Kershaw. I also go by Ty Van Helsing. I serve as the Vice President on the Board of Directors for the ISRC, and I'm here today representing them and on behalf of our membership and the community at large. The Imperial Sovereign Rose Court has many leaders that have served this community, including Rose Empress 15 Darcel, Rose Empress 29 Lady Elaine Peacock, Rose Empress 44 Poison Marie Waters, and our current Rose Empress 59 Krista Boulevard. In its near 60-year history, the ISRC has been witness and played part in many of the fundraising efforts relating to HIV/AIDS research and awareness, cancer research, youth outreach and involvement, and supporting places such as Esther's Pantry, which does an insurmountable amount of work for those individuals and families affected or living with HIV or AIDS today. Having been a part of this community for nearly six decades through leadership and community service, we, the Imperial Sovereign Rose Court of Portland, fully support and endorse the renaming of Southwest Stark Street to Southwest Harvey Milk Street. This renaming would serve as a reminder to those as to where we are, or to where we as a community have been, where we are today in our current political climate, and serve as a beacon of hope to those who have been hurt or otherwise shamed for who they were born to be. Harvey Milk was a pioneer of his time, having been the first elected openly gay city official in the United States to serve on the San Francisco City County Board of Supervisors in 1977. His words, "Hope will never be silent," is a reminder to all that to see change in the world that is ever changing, we must raise our voices and be heard. As you are aware, Supervisor Milk's life was cut tragically short when he was assassinated in 1978. The leadership of the ISRC here in Portland was instrumental in calming this community when Harvey Milk's life was taken in cold blood. Renaming Southwest Stark Street to Harvey Milk Street would be his first major step in showcasing Portland's commitment to serving its LGBTQ+ citizens and would honor a nationally recognized icon who gave hope to humanity like that of Rosa Parks, Cesar Chavez, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and all which the city of Portland honors today with streets named after them. The tragic loss of Harvey Milk will always serve as a reminder that while there may be danger around any corner you take, the sound of hope will resonate in the hearts of those who are willing to raise their voice and remind others that we are here, we are queer, and we aren't going anywhere. We urge the honorable commissioners of the city of Portland to pass this without hesitation and adopt the renaming of Southwest Stark Street to Southwest Harvey Milk Street. Thank you.
Thank you. That's all crazy.
The last person who signed up is Carrie Timchuk.
Mr. Timchuk,
you heard
the last word.
The last word, yeah.
Last but not least. As they say on Capitol Hill, everything's been said, but not everybody has said it. So, Mr. Mayor, City Councilors, for the record, I am Carrie Timchuk, Executive Director of the Oregon Historical Society. At the request of Commissioner Saltzman, it was my privilege to serve as chair of the historians panel that analyzed this proposal. You've heard from other members of the panel previously. It was wanted to report that we met on Monday, April 2nd, 2018, at Portland City Hall to review the application. It was our unanimous conclusion that the application did successfully meet the renaming criteria, which is outlined in Section 17.93.020 of the Portland City Code, in that, one, Harvey Milk is a real person; two, Harvey Milk is a person who has been deceased for at least 5 years, which would of course, prevent Ursula Le Guin from having a street named after her; and three, Harvey Milk is a person who, as you have heard eloquently from others, did achieve prominence as a result of a significant positive contribution to the United States of America. All members of the panel expressed appreciation for the quality and thoroughness of the material provided in support of the application by the Harvey Milk Street Project. And along with certifying that the application did meet the criteria of the code, the panel also unanimously expressed their support for the eventual approval of the proposal. I could also add that at the Oregon Historical Society, we're proud to be the home of GLAPN, the Gay and Lesbian Archives of the Pacific Northwest, which we house at Oregon Historical Society. And in our permanent Oregon Voices exhibit, which tells the story of modern Oregon history, we display the wedding dresses of the first lesbian couple to get married in Oregon, which was here in Portland. Responding to other testimony, too, I can, as head of OHS, also comment on the question I got as we looked at this issue was not why Harvey Milk, it was who the heck was Benjamin Stark? Why was the street named after him? Who was he? And I can report, of course, that he was an early landowner in Portland, a successful landowner, sold a lot of land, served briefly in the Oregon legislature, was appointed upon the death of Senator Baker, who was killed in the Civil War, to serve in the U.S. Senate, where he served for less than a year, returned to Oregon briefly. He was, like many of his time, definitely pro-slavery. Was not an enlightened member of the community, certainly back then, and in fact served most of his life in Connecticut. The first 25 years of his life, the last 25 years of his life, lived in his home state of Connecticut, was here in Oregon and in the West Coast, briefly in California during the Gold Rush as well, but not a monumental figure in Oregon history, certainly.
Thank you, Mr. Yeah, Timchuk. We appreciate that. Thank you.
That completes the testimony. Yeah.
Very good. Any further discussion before we call the roll?
We've lost Kathleen. I really wanted to be here for the vote.
All right. Thank you, Carla.
Yeah.
Please call the roll.
And we'd like to get a photo with everybody after the vote, please. So come on up afterwards.
Fish?
Well, Mayor and colleagues, as I've been reflecting on the testimony this afternoon, I couldn't help but conclude that I think this qualifies as one of the most inspiring hearings that I have witnessed during the 10 years that I've had the honor of serving on this council. And it is clear to me that this room is full of love and pride. Governor Roberts spoke eloquently of the importance of heroes and role models in our lives. As many of you know, I've been very fortunate in those regards. Governor Roberts is my role model, and she is the role model for everyone who seeks public office in this great state of Oregon. When I got out of college, I was offered my first job from a guy named Barney Frank. He was my first boss, and as he will be remembered in history, is one of the first openly gay members of Congress. He literally helped to shape my politics and put me on the life path that has led to this moment. Harvey Milk's nephew quoted Kennedy very eloquently. I think I had this right. I was taking notes. That a community is judged by whom they honor. I love that sentence, particularly because it's grammatically correct. A community is judged by whom they honor. I am very proud that we're about to take this historic action. I want to thank my colleague Dan Saltzman and his staff person, Stacy, who has shepherded us this through to this point. I want to thank the committee that worked so hard to follow our code and to bring this forward. I want to thank all the supporters. And I want to thank all of our honored guests who are here today to share in this moment. Kathleen Sadat reminded us in her testimony that symbols matter. Well, I hope that this action today makes Portland a more welcoming place. And that, after all, in these rather dark times, is something that I think we can all aspire to be a city that welcomes all, regardless of whom they love or where they're born, regardless of their sexual orientation, their ethnic background, that we welcome people for who they are. I also hope, based on the testimony I heard today, that Harvey Milk is not the last champion from the LGBTQ community to be so honored. I vote aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I have some prepared remarks, and I'll give those remarks, but I do want to say that I think it's particularly appropriate the city council is honoring another city councilor, a supervisor in this case, and a mayor who were cut down doing their jobs. They worked hard. They were doing their jobs on behalf of their residents, just like we do every day when they were cut down short. So I feel it's particularly appropriate that we, the city council, get to honor two of our colleagues. So I want to start by thanking all of the organizations and community members who organized so well and so quickly around this. The diverse coalition that made up the Harvey Milk Street Project Committee came in with such clear vision and articulated goals around renaming Southwest Stark Street, it really was our job to step out of the way and let the community do its job. So thanks to all the committee members here today and for those who came from far away to testify. Thank you especially to Stuart Milk with your words and the work you do on behalf of your uncle and the Harvey Milk Foundation every day to carry his enduring message of hope to the world. And I also want to thank Stacy Brewster on my staff, who has been handling all of the city and of all the things, ensuring that we were able to get this done in time for Pride Month and the Pride Parade on Sunday. I've been here long enough to know how fraught with peril street renamings can be. And this process showed it didn't have to be that way. And for that, I am very grateful. This is a cause for celebration, and we continue to welcome the cultures and communities that make our city great and to make our city strong. With the street, we honor the ongoing struggle, for LGBTQ rights, and ensure that Harvey Milk's legacy and the message of hope endures for future generations. I love this short quote from Harvey Milk, and it might as well be on the doorstep of every organization that is funded by the Portland Children's Levy. It says, "All young people, regardless of sexual orientation or identity, deserve a safe and supportive environment in which to achieve their full potential." Well, I couldn't agree more, and I'm proud to support this and vote aye.
Hugh Daly.
Well, thank you for being here today, everyone. It's always a pleasure to see so many friendly and familiar faces in this chamber. You may not be aware, but it doesn't always go this way. I want to thank Commissioner Saltzman and the mayor for bringing this item forward. Of course, I want to thank the historian panel, the Harvey Milk Street Project Committee, and especially Stuart Milk for being here today and all of you for giving such moving testimony. I am also going to be weaving on and off script today. I want to especially thank the elders in this room today. Because of you, I can't remember a time when Portland didn't celebrate Pride. I'm 48. So 44, I think this is the 44th year, right? So I thank you for that. Because of you, I grew up in a household where gay wasn't a bad word. In fact, I never heard one negative thing spoken about the gay and lesbian community. And because of you, my family didn't bat an eye when I brought home my first girlfriend, who happened to work at Roxy Hearts. So, back in the 80s, before the lovely Suzanne was the proprietress. Yeah. And because of you, gay pride has grown to LGBTQIA pride and has made room for those of us who do not fall neatly onto one team or the other. But we certainly appreciate the welcome and the inclusion. We live in such divisive times right now. It feels as though our progressive communities are constantly under attack, not just from the right, but also from the left, as we seem determined to kill our idols and to criticize and dismiss many of those who came before us. So it's a relief that we have near consensus on honoring Harvey Milk today. I think we can all agree that our history is not perfect, our movements are not perfect, our heroes are not perfect. But we're here because of them, and we're standing on their shoulders, and we owe them a debt of gratitude, and we owe them recognition and honor. And we owe them our commitment to never stop fighting for a more equitable, inclusive, and just society. So it is with great pleasure I vote aye.
Wheeler?
Well, first of all, let me just say this is fun. This gives us something to celebrate. As Commissioner Hugh Daly said, it doesn't always go down that way at Portland City Hall, and that's too bad. It should. First and foremost, I want to thank Commissioner Saltzman for your diligent work. We're here to enjoy the end result of this, but I assure you, through his stewardship of PBOT, Portland Bureau of Transportation, they went through many, many steps, many Obstacles have to be overcome with any process like this. And as Dan had said, street naming can be a very highly contentious process. The last time that it was done here in this city, it was certainly one of those contentious processes. And I'm delighted because of your leadership and Stacy's leadership on your team, the road was very smooth. And I want to thank you for that. I want to thank the committee for your hard work. There is seldom a group of people that are brought together in this community representing the level of experience, skills, the lived experience, the diversity, and the level of energy and passion that was brought together by the committee that worked on this. And I want to thank you. I think that also is really, really important in terms of building the public support for this moment. I also want to acknowledge somebody asked the question up front. I think it was Kathleen Sadat. How come there are flags here, or was this a new thing? Seraphie Allen, who is sitting in the back there trying to be unobtrusive from my team. Wave, Seraphie, so we know who's blushing in the back of the room. She is an important member of my team, and she has been my representative throughout this project, and she and her colleagues were the ones who are responsible for the decorating job, and twice I've gotten credit for her work. And I want to acknowledge two things. Number one, she did the work with her team, and number two, you do not want decorating skills as I speak them. You don't want to take my advice on it. Now, about Harvey Milk. Harvey Milk, I think, is one of the most inspirational people, not just to the LGBTQ plus community, but to the nation as a whole. There is a broader, important message to this community. It sends a signal that we are an open and a welcoming and inclusive community. It signals that these are values that we hold very deeply. We don't just speak them, but we live them. And it is important, I think, for the entire LGBTQ plus community to see that we are willing to publicly and vocally and emphatically and passionately endorse and support and honor Harvey Milk, because it speaks so much more about the values of this community. We heard a number of people say that they chose to come to Portland, Oregon. Their decision to come here was not accidental. They made intentional decisions to come to this community because they saw us in the 80s or in the 90s or more recently as an open and a welcoming and inclusive community. And I think it is important that all of us, not just us here on the City Council, but all of us who are leaders in and of our own rights in various ways, that all of us walk the talk. And I believe this honoring opportunity today is another example of walking the talk. Speaking of walking, Sunday is the Pride Parade in the city of Portland. And if there are people watching who are curious about this, who have never participated in said event, I assure you it is one of the most energizing, fun, inclusive, community-oriented, family-friendly things that we do in the city of Portland. And for reasons that I don't understand, it is always perfect weather. Perfect weather. And so I encourage everybody to be there. I will be there. My team will be there. Our families will be there. And there will be a very, very large and energetic contingent of City in Portland, of Portland employees. And we encourage everybody to come out for that event. So with that, congratulations to all of you for completing this important goal right before Pride. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted as amended. Thank you.
So we have a little special something here that the Portland Bureau of Transportation, we went out on a limb, and we have a little special thing for the group photo.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Maybe we can all
gather around the dais and have a photo with the sign in front.
That's
there.
Awesome.
Good stuff.
Yeah, let's go ahead and come back here. We'll need the whole space.
Thank you.
Good work.
Great.
Chloe. Hey, Chloe.
I'm going to tell you that till 4:30. I'm just going to call it.
Okay, yeah, call it.
Yeah.